Today on Real Life Radio.
But the Bible says Jesus will come again someday. And he said, whoever's for me, whoever acknowledges me, I will acknowledge before my Father which is in heaven. And whoever denies me, refuses me, I must deny or refuse him before my Father which is in heaven.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What Do You Think About Jesus Christ, Part 2? You know, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, who by the way was a physician, could actually do. Now, here as we continue in chapter 9, we'll consider what people think about who Jesus is. You see, last time in part 1 of this message, we were listening to Jesus challenge his disciples. He asked them, Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, The Christ of God, the sole Savior of mankind. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that what we think about Jesus Christ and what we say about him determines who and what we are in life and in eternity. Now, in his message called, What Do You Think About Jesus Christ? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
All right, point number 3 in our study. It's 4 points. We did 1, 2 last week. Point number 3 right now. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ worthy of your faith? In verses 23 to 25, that is so very, very all important. Look what it says there. Then Jesus said to them all, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. We will pause right here for a moment. Is Jesus Christ worthy of your faith? And I'm going to argue with you that he is. In verse 23, we realize this. Is your faith in someone greater than you? Is your faith and my faith, is it in someone greater than who we are? This is what Jesus is drawing out of them. In verse 23, when he says, Jesus said to them all, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That's a radical statement. And I hope we see this in a moment. When he uses the word, let him deny, the word deny here in the Greek means to disown, to surrender, to turn yourself in. So Jesus is saying, in light of the declaration, church, you got to kind of watch this in your mind's eye. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ of God. Jesus now turns and says, all right, that being the case, and it is true, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him disown himself. Now, it doesn't mean that we are to save ourselves. Denying ourselves doesn't save ourselves. Oh, look, I've denied myself, God, so much. I didn't have cupcakes today. I didn't have Twinkies today. I didn't have hot dogs today. Look, I've denied myself. That's not what he's talking about. The word deny here, to deny yourself, to disavow or to disown yourself, is to say, I am no longer in the driver's seat. I do not want, I refuse, Lord, my human right to drive my own ship here, to steer my own boat. I don't want anything to do with it. I want you, God, to be the lead. I want you, God, to take control. That's what he is saying. To disown, to surrender. It's the opposite of what you and I hear in this world today. To deny yourself is to come to the place of what the word means, to no longer choose to know yourself. You and I live in a culture that says, know yourself, find out more about you, get to know you. I got news for you. Oh, please, for those of you who have not pursued knowing yourself, wait, those of you who have, you're going to agree with me in a moment. When you try to know yourself, first of all, did you ever get an answer? If you do get an answer, you're not happy with the answer. Because you find, have you ever seen that sticker? It says, to know me is to love me. Who thought of that? The more I get to know me, the more I don't want to know me. The more selfish I am. The more self-centered I am. The more I get to know me, the more I find out that I'm the problem with me. But see, if I'm not realizing that, and don't run out of the church right now with your hair on fire, there's a good answer to this, and you'll be happy in a moment. The more I focus on me, then I begin to turn the world for me. It's all about me. It's the whole world was created. It's everything's for me. You become to get very self-centered. And when that happens, your feelings are hurt. You are very, very upset about this, that, or the other thing. It's all about you. It's about how you feel. It's about this and that, about my life. And Jesus says, listen, in this world that's all messed up, you don't want to live like that because you'll just be derailed. And not only that, it is an attempt to put yourself on the throne of life, and that's where I belong, says the Lord. But believe me, you do not want to live your life with you on the throne. Before you've come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's what we did. We were called non-Christians. We called it BC days, before Christ, and we lived BC. It was all about me, and it was all about you. But there's no freedom in that. And Jesus is saying you need to disown yourself. You're not important to yourself. Christianity is that others are important to us. Christianity is the announcement that Christ is number one in our lives. Listen to this. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says that the heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God knows our hearts. We can say, I have a really good heart. We say that about people too. You know what? I really like them. They've got a good heart. And that's the best evaluation that we can do. But God knows the motive to why we do what we do. How can I know myself fully? Only God can know me fully. The cross in Jesus' day when he says, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We have the cross as jewelry. Think about this. Whoever denies himself and takes up the electric chair and follows me. What? The electric chair? Yeah. That's more applicable to our day and time. There's nothing glorious about it. It wasn't a piece of jewelry. Nobody wore, a cross around the neck back in those days. It'd be like us selling today after service out in the courtyard your own personalized gold-plated electric chair. It was a shameful thing. It was a terrible thing. So when Jesus said, I am the Christ, that's right, Peter, you're right on the money. Now, listen, that being the case, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. When he says take up his cross, notice it's not Jesus' cross. It's a lowercase ace. It's our cross. Our cross to bear daily. Take up his cross daily. His means my personal relationship with Jesus. It's a very simple answer. What does his mean? My personal relationship with Christ. The word cross means what happens to me for following Jesus. You see, Jack, doesn't it mean my sickness or my... No, those are trials and difficulties. That's not the word for cross. To take up your cross and follow him doesn't mean you've got a really bad boss that you got to go work for tomorrow. That's not what it means. That's a trial. It doesn't mean that you're fighting cancer, as terrible as that is. That's not what the cross means, to bear your own cross. It means this, that you in this life, and I hope that you'll see this, you agree with Peter and say, you are the Christ. You pick up that truth and you walk through this life bearing that truth. And what happens when you bear that truth? Christian, listen. When you and I bear that truth, this is what happens. Daily means every day, not Sunday only. Every day. Follow means we receive and experience everything and anything in association with the name of Jesus. If you and I are going to deny ourselves, that is, we're going to step off the throne of our life and we're going to pick up our cross, and we are going to follow Jesus. What does it mean? It means that as I follow Christ, I am going to be spit upon, mocked, made fun of, attacked, ridiculed. Anybody of you have family? Raise your hand. Anybody have family? They don't know Jesus? Have you ever had that happen to you? Mocked, ridiculed. Some of you have been hit and beaten, rejected. Think about it. That is, in fact, you and I bearing our cross. And by the way, G. Campbell Morgan said, the magnitude or the level of our persecution for following Jesus is in direct proportion to our devotion to Jesus. That's very, very true. There are some people that may not even know that you're a Christian. So you don't get any flack. You don't get attacked by anybody. You're playing it safe. You're saving your life. You're being careful. How's the world going to get saved and come to the love of God, to know that God loves them? No one's going to tell them but the believer. And so Jesus is saying, count the cost here. What does it look like to carry the cross? In Matthew 6, verse 10, the Bible says, Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Man, I tell you, when he prayed that prayer, he was teaching us in that scripture how to pray. And then number two, listen to this. Later on in his, some 3 years later, Jesus said this in Matthew 26, 42. Jesus went away and he prayed into the in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed there and he said, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Remember, Jesus was praying in that moment of great difficulty? And when Jesus said, unless this cup pass from me, is there any other way, Father? Do I have to drink this cup? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Man, I tell you what. If you have ever had a challenge or an attack on your thought process that you need self-esteem, I'm going to give you the greatest shot of self-esteem you'll ever have right here. Jesus, when he prayed, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. That declaration means, Father, if salvation can come any other way than me going to the cross, then let's do that other way. But not my will be done, not my advice, Father, your will. And what did Jesus do? He got up off his knees and went straight to the cross, I might add, extremely bold, extremely powerful. Why? The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus got up and went to the cross because you are that absolutely valuable to him. You are beyond priceless to him. See, I don't have to think about my own welfare. He thinks about it for me. I don't have to think about my own position or place. Have I surrendered to him? Have I given up? You say, man, boy, you're really laying it on as we got to really do it. We do nothing. We just simply get off the throne. God, I don't want to be in charge. I want your will to be done. Because, Lord, I've read your Bible and you love me so much that you're only going to do in my life and through my life that which is pleasing to you. And that would be pleasing to me. An offering, a sacrifice. So our cross today, Christian, and I think it's going to be increasingly more in the day and age in which we live in, is our association with Jesus Christ. It's the rejection, it's those beatings and mockings and those scornings that come against us. I understand that. It's the cross that causes you and I to be shut out from family members who remove us from family events and stuff because we're a Christian. It's the cross that causes us to be refused maybe of that promotion. Now your boss may not come up and say, well, I'm not going to give you a raise because you're a Christian. But it's in their hearts, and it's in their minds perhaps. It's the cross that brands us in class. University classrooms and some high school classrooms will even make fun of the Christian. Why does that happen? That's the cross. Listen, are you a student in here today? Have you gone to the universities in America today? And they often, I've told you this before, they'll often on the first week of class try to figure out, where's the Christian? What do you guys believe? I'm really curious. I'd like to know all of you. Just like to know all of you. And everything that everybody knows and believes in is just fine and dandy with everybody until that teacher accomplishes his mission, and that is to find the Christian in the class. And as soon as he finds the Christian in the class, that's where the search ends, and that's where the ridicule begins. You are, my friend, cheer up. You are bearing your cross. And God is well pleased. Don't be discouraged. Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. You didn't do anything. In fact, you might be the straight A student. But your association's with the cross. And you're hated for that. It's this world that we live in. It's what Jesus said would happen. Charles Spurgeon asked this question that reveals all he said. He said, do people know you for being a Christ follower? And wherever you and I live and wherever we work and whatever we do people know that we are followers of Jesus Christ? That's what Jesus is saying. To bear your cross is to walk with him. Is Jesus Christ worthy of our faith? Look at verse 24. Is your faith in a safe place? Is your faith in a safe place when Jesus said, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it? That is the fact that you and I have no power to save it. For you, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but listen, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Listen to what Kent Hughes says, and I want to read this to you. Kent Hughes, in his commentary, says this: self-focus is part of the modern evangelical identity. This is why increasing numbers of evangelical churches and Christians care little about the glory of God or the reaching out to the lost in this world. For them, Christianity exists to enhance their own lives, to help their marriages, to increase their bank accounts and their prestige. But to bear a cross, to pay a price for standing for Jesus Christ? No thanks, says many evangelicals. That's a tremendous statement to make. Jesus said there are those who desire to save their lives and they're going to wind up losing them. But he says for those who lose them, and it doesn't mean, you guys know this, it doesn't mean that you dive off some cliff shouting the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. That's not what it means. That doesn't mean to lose your life. It means to live this life for his honor and for his glory. Man, that'd change things. You, Jack, you're not kidding, it'd change things. If I do that, it'd mess up my business. How do you know it'd mess up your business? People know I'm a Christian. Maybe I won't sell as many products that way. How do you know? I would rather run that risk than what you're doing and risking the fact that you're trying to save your life. And then I think about my own life. When somebody says, hey, are you that pastor that's doing that Islam thing on Sunday nights? What's with that? What are you doing? We're just the same people. Immediately I'm tempted to, oh, it's nothing. Don't you feel like that when somebody says, hey, are you the one that left the Bible on my doorstep? It was my neighbor next to me. That temptation comes, and you stop right there, and immediately in my mind this week, hey, are you the guy? On the internet, my name popped up there, and it said some not nice things. And my first thought was, if I could just talk to this person and tell them, what was I doing? That sounded real. If I could just dialogue. You know what? In my mind, already I had determined if that's the path I was going to take, I would compromise. Why? Because all of us battle with the fear of man. What do people think about me? Have you realized it doesn't matter what they think about us? Because what they think about us is wrong to begin with. They don't know. And it doesn't matter. It's what God thinks about us. That's what matters. And so we stand, or so we associate with Jesus, and we receive this cross. And frankly, when we understand that, it's a glad thing. It's a good thing. And then thirdly, under this point, verse 25, is your faith the greatest possession you have? Oh, church, listen. You and I live in a rich culture for now. We're blessed tremendously. But can I make this assumption that whatever you and I own, it really doesn't declare who we are? Please understand that your BMW or your Porsche or your plane or your boat or your house is not who you are. These are things that you have been blessed with. Do you understand that's not what you are? If you have those things, praise God. If you don't have those things, praise God. It's not the things. What do you own that is the most precious thing in your life? Let me put it to you this way. What do you have worth living for and worth dying for? That's what Jesus is saying. It's most precious because he says in verse 25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? It's not going to help you in the end. As a human being, look, I jotted this down in my notes for me. I'll let you in on some private thoughts. If it blesses you, great. If it offends you, don't be offended. It's my thought. As a human being, where did I get the idea that I can control my life and do a good job of it? Growing up godless or God little, truth is, we're not very good at managing our lives. And I looked at that. I wrote that down because when I was praying over this message, that's what thought came to my mind. Where did I get the idea that I even had the controls of my life to begin with? Where did that come from? Right from the very start of Jack's little life, I started with a false assumption. I'm in control. Isn't it funny? We used to dress up, 5 years old, we used to dress up in our father's army gear and walk around. Don't look at me, girls. You used to dress up in your mom's dress with the high heels and click, click, and act all big. Call the shots. I'm in control. And you can see little personalities, by the way, coming out really early in little kids. Where did we learn? Where did we ever think that we were the ones in control? We kind of grew into it, huh? We kind of just grew right into it. Those shoes that were that big and our little feet like that, the feet grew into the shoe, and then we assumed, I am in control. Wow, look at me. Think about it. Where in the world did Jack ever get that idea that he was ever in control? Isn't that funny? And yet, if I grew up without God, or if I grew up with a little bit of God, someone's going to be in control. And Jesus says, when we are, we will attempt to amass things to ourselves. We create a little kingdom, but in the end, it cannot save us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, for the love of money, not money, but the love of money is a root to all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith. Yikes. That means money, the love of money can pull you off your path of faith. In their greediness, and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow. All because of the love of money or the love of things. And then fourth and final point, verses 26 to 27. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Are you willing to take on his name? Are you willing to take on his name? Now, there's a little play on words here. I didn't mean it to be. Are you willing to take on his name? What does that mean to you? Those of you who are like in marketing or sales or a rep of some company, you have a name tag when you go to like a convention or something, right? You have a name tag, DuPont or IBM. It says IBM, usually it's over your name, right? It's usually, it's the first thing, the eye falling downward as the eye goes. What does it hit first? Not your name. The company doesn't want your name first. The company wants its name first. IBM. And then under there somewhere is your name. You have taken on the name of IBM, and it's pinned to you. So you walk around, and you are IBM in that little spot, in that little moment, and my name is Jack. IBM Jack. To take on that name, that's certainly what we're talking about in the context of our study, but some people, if they don't take on his name, then they'll take on his name. When I say take on his name, I mean, all right, God, it's you and I. Best of 12 rounds. Oh, you sure you want to do that? Because here's what it comes down to. Truly, you either take on his name or you take on his name. You either say Jesus is Lord or he's not in your life. He is, no matter what your opinion is, it's best to agree with God. You say, well, he's forcing me. No, he's not forcing you. He honors your decision.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, What Do You Think About Jesus Christ? Part 2. Thanks for spending some time with us today. You know, this message is just part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here, and I want to let you guys in on something. We literally brought a book back to life. We resurrected a book that was out of print for your junior higher, high schooler, and your college age kid. You've got to get a copy of Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith's book titled, He Who Thinks Has to Believe. So mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, listen to this. Get this book for your kid, junior high, high school, college age kid, because as they get into this book, and they're going to want to get into it, it's fascinating. They're going to love it. Sit down with them, read it with them, watch what happens. Their world is being rocked, and you need to infuse truth into their life with this great book. Once again, don't miss it. Don't miss it. He Who Thinks Has to Believe by Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith.
He Who Thinks Has to Believe by Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith. It's a great book, and it's our book of the month for the month of February. You can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.